Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 33. Sister Sheila, we've been praying for you. It's good to see you in church tonight. Hope that you're making progress and continue to heal. And it's good to see you. Look at verse number 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, verse 37, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, to be able to see, dear Lord, past the surface, to have the Word of God help us to see the supernatural tonight. And I pray, Lord, that we would be better equipped and more determined, Lord, to resist the devil and all that he's trying to do in this world and trying to do in our own personal lives. And Lord, that we'd be given the ammunition that we need, dear God, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for standing. At the very beginning of the message, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination. I hope that God's blessed you with a good imagination. I think one of the most powerful ways to learn the Bible is not to just read black words on white paper, but to use the God-given imagination that you have to be able to picture in your mind what the Bible is saying. And so I'm going to ask you to use that imagination. Can you picture a hill outside of Jerusalem, a place called Golgotha, a hill that the Bible says resembles a human skull? Can you picture three men? Think about this. All three condemned to death, being marched and prodded up that hill. Up on top of the hill, there waits strong men. Come on, trained fighters on top of the hill. There awaits Roman soldiers. On the ground at their feet are three large rugged beams that will serve as the vertical shafts of what will become three crosses. One large, can you picture him? Heartless, muscular soldier watches the men climb the hill. Maybe on his face is a sadistic smile. In his right hand is a large, heavy hammer. And in his left hand are nine rusty spikes, nine large nails. His intent is clear as the fellow soldiers lay these three supposed criminals on the crosses. His job will be to drive those nails into the hands and feet of each man. The nails will pierce through skin, rip through muscle and sinew, and affix each man to the cross. One nail will be hammered through the right hand, and one will be hammered through the left hand. Then both feet will be stacked one upon another, and that last large nail will be hammered through both feet into the wooden beam. Can you see from afar the soldier's strong arm lift the hammer far above his head? Can you see it descend with crushing force upon the head of the spike below? Can you hear the echoes of the mighty blows, metal on metal, hammer on spike, as they ring down and across the quiet crowd? There's something else you would have been able to hear that day. Had you the ability to hear the sounds and see the sights of the invisible creation. By the way, we're going to take a peek into the invisible creation tonight and expose our enemy tonight. I want to say it plain. I'm going right after the devil tonight because we need to expose him for who he is and what he does. And we need to be equipped. Come on, you shouldn't be a little plaything of the devil. You know, you shouldn't be like a wounded mouse that a cat's playing with all the time. And you know what? You've seen it happen. And it just has enough strength to run a few. And you feel like you're getting away. And then the cat pounces again. That's not the relationship you should have with the devil. It's time for some of you to say that I'm done letting the devil control my life. It's time for me to go on the offensive. It's time for me to learn how to defeat the devil. But I think if you could see, and if we could have been there that day, and we had been given the God-given ability to see sounds and to see the sights of the invisible creation, we would have heard and seen some things. The men present, had they been able to, would have heard satanic shrieks of delight and the evil cackling laughter of demons and devils. They would have heard with each strike of the hammer the haunting screams of a victory celebration led by a fallen and disgraced archangel who thinks that day that he's won. Yes, Satan was there that day along with his great army of evil spirits, but he does not yet understand that those nine nails are not being driven through hands and feet, not being driven into rugged crosses, but instead are securing the lid to his forever coffin. I want to preach on this subject tonight. Nine nails in the devil's coffin. Nine nails in the devil's coffin. You say, preacher, I'm kind of new. I'm still learning the Bible. Who is the devil? You spoke of him of being a former archangel and of his demons being fallen spirits. Where did the devil come from? And how did he become the enemy of God and the enemy of the church of Jesus Christ? And you know what? If the devil's an enemy of the church of Jesus Christ, and certain people have decided they're an enemy of the church of Jesus Christ, maybe they ought to figure out what side they're on, because they're not doing the work of God. And of course, we could go back. I'm going to read a lot of this, but I want to give you a little bio of the devil for a few minutes. You go back to Isaiah chapter 14, and we're introduced to Lucifer. And we're told about Lucifer and his fall from heaven. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? By the way, that's going to come true one of these days. We're all going to be there when God takes him and wraps him in the chains of darkness. We're all going to look at him and say, that's the one, that's the person we let control our life. That's the person we let have power. That's the person that controlled nations. Because when God gets a hold of him, he's going to know he's been gotten a hold of, amen. And so we see that. We go forward to Revelation chapter 12, and we are given a little bit more information about the devil. In verse number 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We are first introduced to the devil in the third chapter of the book of the first book of the Bible. I'm just giving you little bits about the devil here. He takes the form of a servant in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, somebody's lying, because God said you would die. The devil says you wouldn't die. You won't die. Folks, he's the liar and the father of all lies. And so he lies to Eve, for God doth know. Then he questioned the character of God. For God doth know that in the day ye eat, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be a little g gods, knowing good and evil. Hey, God's keeping something back from you that you're deserving of. You shouldn't have dictated to you what is right and wrong. You should be able to decide for yourself like a little g god what is right and wrong. And that's exactly the humanistic philosophy that's being taught to our young people today. And folks, I said it, and I think in our Sunday school class this morning, but you know, when people are telling young people, you've got to decide what you believe, and then be true to it. That is wicked, satanic advice. And yet people will post that on social media and Christians will give it a thumb up. Do you not know anything about the Bible? It's not for you to decide what you believe and then stay true to it. It's you. It's our job as Christians to decide what God says and choose to believe that and stand by it and stand with that. Yes. So Genesis chapter 3. By the way, yes, he lures mankind into sin. But in the same chapter, we see the death sentence leveled at that same serpent who dare defile the apple of God's eye, who dare entice his a crowning creation into sin. In Genesis 3, 14 through 15, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise and thou shalt bruise his heel. And he was saying there, well, these days, you know what? The seed of this woman, through her seed comes the Messiah. And Jesus that day, folks, listen to me, that day on Calvary's cross, Jesus was fixing to take his heel and crush the head of the devil once and for all. You see, folks, the devil picked a fight up in heaven eons ago, a fight he'll never win. God Almighty will not share his glory and honor with a mere archangel. So when the devil was ousted from heaven, he descended to earth and with the intent of destroying the one creation that God loved more than any other thing he'd ever created, the devil became the sole enemy of mankind. You see, folks, let me just explain it to you so you understand what's going on. I'm talking about what's going on here tonight. I'm talking about what's going on all around you that you cannot see because it's in the invisible creation. You know, the devil knows he's doomed. He knows it. He can read. He's read the end of the book. He knew that God had created a place of eternal torment for himself and the devil angels who followed him. When it talks in Revelation chapter 12 about his tail taking a third of the stars of heaven, a third of the angels of heaven was deceived by the devil. And they have become his satanic armies. Modern people call them demons. The Bible doesn't use that term. It calls them devils, but it's the same thing. And they're real. Just because you can't see certain things does not mean it's not real, all right? And so think about that. So the devil decided if he was going to have to spend eternity in a lake of fire, he would spread his sin into the human race so that God would, listen, so that God would either have to make one of two choices. He's either going to have to accept sin in order to preserve his crown jewel creation or sentence mankind to the same place of torment that the devil was going to go. And you know what? That was his grand plan and his grand scheme. And he got the human race to fall into sin. Only he did not know that God had another plan. Amen. God had a plan to redeem whosoever will, to give them an opportunity because of what Jesus is going to do, what was going to do on Calvary's cross. So think about that. Yeah, the devil's got his plan, but God's always, come on, three steps ahead. He'd already devised a plan for the salvation of man, a plan that would allow mankind to have the opportunity to escape hell and judgment. God would offer to men something he would never offer to Satan. Now, folks, by the way, God's ways are his ways. But he's offering us something he would not offer to Satan. You know what it is? A chance to be redeemed. A chance to be saved. And so tonight I want to look at three portions of scripture that I am going to have you turn to. And I want to talk about nine nails. Nine nails that hammered out the death sentence of our enemy, the devil, but also provided an opportunity for mankind to receive forgiveness and live in victory over the devil. Folks, we're going to dive into it, but I want to just encourage you. Preacher, I feel like I'm failing in my Christian life. I feel like the devil's winning too much in my life. I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you how you cannot have to worry about that happening. I'm not going to be able to lead you to a place where you can live in sinless perfection. That's impossible for all of us. But folks, listen to me. We ought to be winning a lot more than we're losing. And remember, the devil is a defeated foe. And I will stand on this because it's King James Holy Bible. He cannot A defeated foe cannot win a victory unless we hand it to him. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will. Okay, so if God has empowered us, not because of who we are, but because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But if God has empowered us to be able to stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and resist him, and he has to flee that, then you know what, folks? If he's winning, it's because we're not resisting. Come on. We're making provision for the flesh. Okay, come on now. So I want to help you tonight. I mean this. I genuinely want to help you tonight. Now, you say 9-point outline. Nope, three threes. So it's technically a 3-point outline. Amen. Let me have you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Folks, point number one, the three nails of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The three nails of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins. Nail number one, died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. Nail number two. And that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. How do we defeat the devil? You know what we do? We proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here comes the devil, and he's wanting to mess with you. Here comes the devil, and he's wanting to discourage you. Here comes the devil, and he wants to defeat you. Say, preacher, how do I fight back? How do I drive some nails in the coffin of the devil? How do I do it? You take the gospel story everywhere you go, and you share the gospel story. What is the gospel story? Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. He was buried, and he arose the third day. Hey, there's not any Christian that can't memorize that. There's not any Christian that can't repeat that. There's not any Christian that can't share that. And you know what, folks? The story of the gospel, the devil fears it. He fears it. And so you know what I do when the devil comes tormenting me? I said, you know what? It's time to start preaching more of the gospel. It's time to start giving out the gospel. Time to start sharing the gospel. Hey, listen to that, devil. You know what that is? That's a spike in your coffin lid. That's what it is. Now, folks, what are you saying, preacher? I'm going to spend a long time on this, but we need preachers. We need preachers all over this country. I mean this. I would like to see 10,000 young men in this next generation surrender to the gospel ministry. If we could send 200, by the way, it's 200 times 50 states. Remember, if we could send 200 young gospel preaching preachers into every state of the United States of America. What a way to celebrate the 250th anniversary. And you know what? We need to go there and preach the gospel. Before people can be helped any other way, they've got to hear the gospel. Before they can overcome the devil in their life, they've got to get born again. They've got to get saved. And so we need preachers preaching the gospel. We need soul winners. I want to say it again. We need soul winners. Come on, we need Baptist people that are saved, born again, sitting in a pew. We need you to get you a soul winning New Testament. We need you to write out the Romans Road. We need you to memorize how to win people to Christ. And we need you to go boldly go out and share the gospel. What is the gospel? He died for our sins, according to the scripture. He was buried, rose again. Not complicated. But every time, you know what? We share the gospel. You know what the devil's hearing? He's hearing that sound right there. He's hearing another nail drove into his coffin. Preacher, I can't seem to overcome this. I can't seem to overcome that. I can't seem to overcome this. I'm telling you right now, one of the things that will help you to do it is, come on, stop hiding behind your personality. Stop making excuses. Stop thinking you're the exception to the rule. Stop saying it's not my spiritual gift. No, it's a command from our Savior, and we're either doing it because we're being obedient, or we're not doing it because we're being disobedient. But you know what? Those of you that aren't doing it, you know what? You're not hindering the devil and his work at all. Just think what would happen if Sunday school teachers got a burden once again for their Sunday school class. Come on, where every kid that walked in that room, it would burn in your heart and you could not let it go until you knew for sure that they had received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about the opportunities in our area in nursing homes. Right now, if we have open door opportunities in nursing homes, we just got people too wound up and busy in the world to take one evening a month. One evening a month for someone to go in and just preach the gospel. Think about that. Thank God for our junior church workers and children's church workers and next level. And I'm glad for everything you're preaching, but don't leave out the gospel. Don't assume that everybody's okay. You say, preacher, why the gospel? Why is that something that defeats the devil? Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, you want to unleash the power of God? You want to unleash the power of God across this community? Then you start sharing the gospel. You start, I'm going to tell you something. What we need is to get back to passing out gospel tracts. Come on, we've led off. How do you know? Because I stocked the track rack. Could you get somebody else to do it? I'm sure I could. Philip, by the way, Philip's been helping me with that. Sunday morning, he comes here early, and he's here at 8 or 8:15 in the morning, and he looks around for stuff. He set tables up back there for me before I even thought of it this morning. It's Father's Day, and it's the dessert day. And one day, I was out there stocking the track rack, and he's standing there. I said, hey, you want a job? And sure. And I said, hey, here's where I hide all the extra tracks. If there's any of them empty, start putting them in there. But folks, listen to me. You know Johnny. Y'all know Johnny. He's the one that wanted the suit. Okay. And Brother Joe bought him a suit. And he's walking around this morning. He went by me at least six times and said, Pastor. I said, what? I really like my suit. That's good, Johnny. It looks sharp. I told him this morning, you're going to have to get you a small stick. You got to get a small stick. I said, man, you're looking so good, you're going to have to beat the girls off of you. You're funny, Pastor. You're funny, Pastor. And then he leaves and comes back and says, Pastor, I said, what? I really like my suit. So after about six times of that, I said, let me show you something about this suit. I'll bet you don't even know. And he said, what? And I opened it up like this. And I said, look over here. I said, there's a secret pocket. I didn't know that was there. I said, I know. I said, you know what that's for? Are you listening, folks? I said, I pulled one of these out. And I said, now this, you put in that secret pocket right there. Now, next Sunday when you come, it can't be there. Are you listening? Well, preacher, you know, he's a little slow. Amen. Okay. I think God made him. I think you're, don't criticize my creator. Don't criticize my creator. But you know what? He looked at me and got all excited, smiled. And I said, could you do that? Can you give that to one person? And then you'll come back here next week and we'll put another one of those in your secret pocket. Well, Johnny, he's just, I mean, these kids we bring, and you know what? How many are you passing out? Come on, who's retarded? Right. Right. I'm going to say it. Yeah. Who's got mental problems? Right. Yes. You know, here you got a little bit of a simple young man, but you know what? He's excited to be able to take a track out of his secret pocket this week and give it to somebody. Hey, let's get back to passing out tracks. Let's get back to passing out tracks. We're talking about the three nails of the gospel. Now let me have you go to Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter number 12. I want to help you. I'm tired of watching Christians get beat by somebody who's already been beaten. And folks, listen, he gets all of us from time to time. But boy, we ought to double down on this and decide that, you know what? He is beatable, but we have got to do what the Bible says to do to beat him. So first of all, the three nails of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Number two, the three nails of the church of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 11. And they overcame him, talking about that devil, that dragon, that evil one, Satan, that deceived the whole world. Verse number 9, he's described in great detail in verse 9. And they overcame him, how? Here's the three nails. Nail number 1, by the blood of the Lamb. Nail number two, by the word of their testimony. Nail number three, they love not their lives unto death. Now you show me a Christian that gets those three character traits in their life, and you know what? The devil is not going to know what to do to handle them. Okay? Are you listening to this? What the Bible's saying is this. How can you overcome it? Preacher, I don't get it. How do you beat the devil? Well, I think that's a pretty good formula right here. You know what? It starts with the blood of the Lamb. We sing, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Folks, listen to me. I don't want a hymn book to ever be in this church where they've taken all the blood hymns out. A lot of times we're accused of having a bloody religion. You got to thank God for the blood. That's the only way you're going to overcome the devil. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You can call me crazy. You can call me charismatic. You can make any accusation, but I'm a Bible believer, Bible preaching, Bible practicing Christian, and I'm going to tell you this. I know I've been in battle enough with him to know when he's attacking me. Yeah. And I know how to get him out of the same room as me. Amen. I know how to get him to fold his cards. I know how to get him to flee from me. And buddy, if you're having a tough time with temptation and a struggle, or you feel demonically oppressed, you just start singing blood songs. Amen. You say out loud, I claim the blood of Jesus Christ. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ. Get behind me, Satan. He does not have a choice. How did they overcome him? You need to speak it out loud. You need to sing it out loud. You need to shout it out loud if you need to. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about the blood of Jesus Christ that he cannot stand up against. That's not the only thing it says. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, folks, listen to me. This is different than the gospel, even though it's connected to the gospel. Yes, the three nails of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again. But the word of their testimony is how the gospel changed your life. Let me just say it plain. You know what this is talking about? You telling somebody how you got saved. There is something so powerful about a salvation testimony. We study the book of Acts, and I think one of the greatest soul winners that ever walked the planet, the Apostle Paul, when he had opportunity to speak, he hardly ever did so without sharing what happened on the Damascus Road. When you're out soul winning, preacher, I don't know what to say, and I don't know if I know all the verses. Can you tell people what God did for you? Could you tell them how you got saved? Let me tell you something. When you start sharing your testimony, you know what the devil's hearing? He's hearing another nail being driven into his coffin. Another nail driven into his coffin. And so you know what he wants to do? He wants to intimidate you. He wants to turn you into a Christian coward. A Christian coward. I mean, Jesus, the greatest thing that ever happened to you if you got saved, the greatest thing that ever happened to you if you got saved was the day that you received Christ as your Savior. Why would you be ashamed of that story? Why aren't you sharing that story? What I say almost at every door and every opportunity that I have a chance to speak to a lost person, my go-to introductory statement is this. Hey, you got a few minutes where I can tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me? I mean, who doesn't want to know the greatest thing that ever happened to somebody? I mean, immediately it's like, all right. They're curious. By the way, it is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And it is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And so, you know, every time we share our testimony, then you know what? We put another nail in the coffin of the devil. And then look at this, folks, at how it ends here. We've got the blood of the Lamb. We've got the word of their testimony. Watch this, folks. They loved not their lives unto death. And so you have the blood of the Lamb, the testimony of the brethren, and the boldness of the saints. The boldness of the saints. So you know what? They start preaching the gospel. They start sharing their testimony. Guess what? You get four chapters into the book of Acts and persecution comes. What are you going to do when persecution comes? You know what? You know what the devil's going to try to do? Intimidate you. Get you to stop talking. Get you to stop sharing. Get you to stop witnessing. Get you to stop going soul winning. He'll do anything and everything into your life. I'm saying this. If you recommit or commit tonight to be a witness of Jesus Christ, don't think the devil's not going to put a target on you. Yeah, right. But you know what? This formula to overcome the devil, the last part of it is this. Devil, I'll take it all the way. You throw everything you want to throw at me, and I'm not stopping. You throw me in prison. Come on, this is Book of Acts Christianity. You throw me in jail, and I'll win the jailer. You throw me in jail, I'll win the other prisoners. Okay, you beat me in one town and leave me for dead, and God spares my life and gets me back on my feet, I'll go to the next town and do it again. So many times they were released from prison and didn't even flee the town that threw them into prison, but they went in to check on them and they were gone because God stands up for those who will stand up for him. And they could have got out of jail and hoofed it down, said, it's time to get out of here. But they did what the Holy Spirit said. It went right back into the synagogue. Where'd those prisoners go? I don't know. I mean, they were here, and I don't know what happened. And they were here, and the doors are still locked. All of a sudden, somebody comes around. Hey, them crazy preachers are down there at the synagogue preaching Jesus again. Come on. Think about this. All 12 of the apostles, except for John, died a martyr's death. The church of Jesus Christ has to get a martyr's mentality. That's not a death wish. Listen, folks, I wouldn't mind winning crowns. Martyr's crown's not on my, checkbox. I'm not trying for it. I've met a few Christians that I think are, Brother Howes, you say about Lester Roloff, he said, if a bullet came through the room, he said, Brother Howes said, I'd jump under a chair and Lester Roloff would jump in front of it. But you know what, folks? It takes a martyr's mentality. Right. That, and I'm not going to stop. Well, it could cost you my job. Then I'm going to go find another job. Right. Well, it's going to stop. It's going to cause me to lose friends. Well, I guess I'll go find some real friends. Well, certain family members will turn their back on me. If I get too vocal about this, then I guess they'll have to turn their back on me. Folks, come on. Jesus was willing to go to the cross and go all the way for us. And we want to stay in this safe little circle where really our Christianity doesn't cost us anything. And so if you want to overcome the devil, then you know what? You've got to get a mentality about it. First of all, you're not going to do it on your own strength. You better plead the blood. Secondly, you know what? You're not going to shut your mouth about what Jesus did for you. You're going to tell it and tell it and tell it. There's not a person in this room that's been in this church for more than a couple years that couldn't stand up and almost word for word give my testimony. You know why? Because I tell it a lot. You know why? Because that's how I'm beating the devil. That's how I'm going to beat the devil. That's how I'm going to beat him. So the boldness of the saints. Let's get to the last one. Let me have you go to the back of the book. This is where it gets good, folks. Let's read the end of the story. Okay, so we have the three nails of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the three nails of the church of Jesus Christ. And then we have the three nails of the eternal judgment of God upon the devil. In Revelation chapter 20, let's read the first three verses. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Let's look at verse number 7, same chapter. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Look at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Three nails of eternal judgment, a great chain, a bottomless pit, and the lake of fire. And by the way, that's his end. That's his end. And folks, listen to me. We're going to fail at times. And the devil's real good about bringing up our past and our past failures. Come on. Yeah. Trying to discourage us because maybe we fell short or we failed on God or we missed an opportunity to do something we should have done or say something we should have said. But my dad used to say, anytime the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. This is his future. And one of these days, that enemy that every one of us struggle against, come on. We got the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's our three great enemies. But one of these days, that old deceiver, that accuser of the brother, that one that wreaks such havoc on this earth, you know what? There's going to be a great chain. There's going to be a bottomless pit. And there's going to be a lake of fire. And you know what? On that day, you know what I think you're going to hear in the background? This is the last three nails in your eternal coffin. This is the last three nails. And folks, we're going to be able to go into an eternity where we are never again bothered by that enemy. Woo, praise the Lord. I think that's going to be one of the things that makes heaven, heaven. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. Every single one of us are our flesh and bone, and every single one of us, Lord, still have that old nature. And every single one of us, dear God, too often find ourselves at the mercy seat once again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's getting it all right. But Lord, we have an enemy that we can defeat through the name and the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, dear God, that you would help us to be reminded from time to time about these three portions of scriptures. Maybe there's a Christian struggling a little bit. Maybe they're struggling with a spirit of fear. They lack boldness to speak up for Jesus. May they come to an altar tonight and say, God, please help me to overcome that. Maybe there's somebody that's struggling with a habitual sin and the devil just keeps getting them with it over and over and they need a little help. Maybe some are just discouraged. Maybe some have loved ones or friends that the devil has tied up in knots. And tonight, the trip to the altar is not about what's going on in their lives, but maybe a chance to pray for somebody else. Whatever you want to do, Lord, we want it to be done. We pray these things in Jesus' name.